You please pray with me. Heavenly Father, by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. Amen. Last Saturday, I had the unique experience of going to a high place. A number of us rented a U-Haul and drove to 33 South 6th Street in Minneapolis and spent most of the day salvaging mostly unused, very good office furniture from the 48th and 49th floor of a corporate office building. We took the elevator. It was one of those fast elevators. Your ears popped. I haven't spent much time in high-rises like that, but going out, looking out onto the beautiful views, pretty inspiring. You could see for miles. It's kind of heady. You think, I could get used to this. Like, this is pretty impressive, inspirational. And it was in very stark contrast to what has been and what is, and even that morning was happening in our city. You wouldn't have had any sense of it from looking out on those sort of endless horizons from the 48th and 4th place, that high place. It does inspire personal strength and agency, like, I can do anything. It inspires confidence because it's a commanding perspective on, you know, all the people below and all the opportunities below. I'm not saying that our high-rise towers are like the Tower of Babel, but I think it's in the same sort of path of, like, we feel a little bit like it's a godlike perspective. At least as much as our minds can conceive of what that sort of perspective and authority it is. That all that you can see or imagine is yours, if you would just take it and pursue it. Now contrast that kind of vision, that kind of ambition, from the vision that Jesus presents from a mountainside in today's gospel from Matthew. From a high place, he pronounces a very different judgment upon the world. Not blessed are the strong and those that have great agency and tremendous vision, but blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are you, not when people lift you up and praise you, but when people insult you, persecute you, and malign you, because of me. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is not probably the kind of words that are spoken from the 48th and 49th floor and descending. Probably not even spoken from the 20th floor of buildings. Jesus' words bring us down to earth. They bring us down to the loading dock. They bring us down to just real life. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus looks upon his disciples and he casts a vision for the path that he's going to take and the path that they must follow on if they will be his disciples. The Lord doesn't require wealth or health or wisdom or strength. He certainly doesn't even promise them according to the world's resources for his disciples, but does say that the blessings of the Lord, similar to Micah, Micah 6 is also a word from a high place, and or perhaps maybe it said two high places. In Micah 6, the Lord God summons the mountains as witnesses against his people. These mountains are high places that his people probably sought help from, looking to false gods and idols from high places. The Lord spoke not to the idols, but to the high places themselves in witness against his people and their faithlessness. Speaking to these high places in a figurative way, but I think it's also a reflection of the sovereignty of the Lord that he speaks to the mountains, he speaks to the foundations of the earth. And he calls all of creation, in a sense, to witness and remember how he brought the Israelites, his people, out of a land of slavery and bondage and brought them into a promised land. Then he called them all to remember when King Balak sought to buy a curse upon God's people from the prophet Balaam with altars and with sacrifices and with riches. That story, Balaam, you're probably familiar with Balaam's donkey, right? His donkey that speaks to him. It goes on to talk of how Balaam, and it's a little bit like, is Balaam just hoping that God would let him speak curses so that he could accept the riches of Balak? I don't want to get into his psychology, but that's a bit of the story of Balaam following Balak, who says, pronounce curses upon these people, because he was fearful knowing what God had done in bringing them into this land. And so from three different mountains, Balaam comes up to the mountain, Balak offers offerings in and on seven different altars, in just a sense of, it's a sort of an escalating sense of like, let's call down curses upon God's people. But from the heights of Baal and the heights of Pisgah and the heights of Peor, at each of these points, instead of curses, the Lord puts blessing in Balaam's mouth. And Balak is so frustrated because it's like, why did I even begin? And at the very end, climaxing on this third peak, Balaam says, blessed are those who curse, who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. That God's blessing could not be bought or bargained or sacrificed enough, but the Lord's face and heart was set for his people. And so these things, the Lord called the high places to remember what he had done, and then exhorted his people to remember, to not be faithless, but to remember how God had stood and been faithful in his steadfast love towards them. That the Lord's blessings couldn't be bought, they couldn't be bargained with sacrifices, they couldn't be attained by strength or coercion. That if this king Balak couldn't bribe the Lord, then neither could or should, or should God's people feel any sense of, well, maybe if we give enough sacrifices, the Lord will love us. Instead, reminding them, my steadfast love has always been with you. And that the Lord requires of his people not an abundance of sacrifices, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with him. But worldly blessing and trying to take what you can is tempting. The view from the 49th floor is a heady view. And before Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, not long before, he had to face that temptation in the wilderness. That led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he was taken up to a high place, and the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said, all this I will give to you, if you will bow down and worship me. It is a profound temptation to be set apart from the troubles of the world, not to be in the loading dock, but to be at the very top, to be set apart from trouble, to have a place of privilege, to have a position of commanding authority, to be in the room where the decisions are made. But Jesus responded, worship the Lord your God, him only shall you serve. Then again in Matthew 5, not long after, but at a different high place, Jesus ascended this mountainside, surrounded by crowds who were attracted to the news of his teaching and his authority over pain and disease and demons, over seizures and paralysis, over things that no one else had any control. And seeing these crowds, Jesus went up on the mountainside, sat down, and he taught his disciples. The crowds were in view, and all their troubles that they had brought, hoping for redemption, were in view, but the message was specifically to those who followed Jesus. Blessed are you, poor in spirit, you who mourn, you who are meek, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for you shall receive mercy, and for the pure in heart, for you shall see God. Not take what you can and secure your own place, but blessed are those who follow in the path that Jesus would ultimately walk in, of meekness and hunger and mercy and purity and peacemaking. Jesus' vision from the heights wasn't one of selfish ambition and vain conceit, of securing himself an insulated or powerful position, but only to obey the will of his Father, even though it would lead ultimately to his death on a cross. To be a man who acted justly and who loved mercy and walked humbly in the midst of this world, not above it or transcending it. The vision that he casts in the Sermon on the Mount is not one of separation or insulation from trials and suffering, but compassion for the crowds gathered around him and for us, his followers, who otherwise are like sheep without a shepherd. Because even the strongest and the most influential and most confident among us still have our frailties and our vulnerabilities, the things that wake us up at night or the things that we have to hide and say, oh, I wish people didn't see how weak I am in some ways. There are things that can happen to us out of our power, ways we can suffer grief and hunger and thirst or take offense, just the wounded part of us. And in our vulnerability, in our frailties, we might be tempted to take up tools and tactics of worldly strength and security and wisdom. Like God's people in Micah, we can be prone to forget God's faithfulness, to harden our hearts as our forebears did in the wilderness, to look around us with despair, and to look up to high places for our security, or to look to our security to tear down the high places, to fear them in despair that they are too great for us. We have to ask ourselves, do we believe that God comforts those who mourn, that the meek shall inherit the earth, that blessed are the peacemakers? Do I believe that the good and the blessed way is to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God, and not to build up an abundance of sacrifices or self-righteousness? Do I aspire to that loftier view? Am I tempted by those things? But you're here today, you're listening with attention, because we are here to practice walking humbly, to do justice, to love mercy. We come as people who aren't resting in our importance or afraid of our vulnerabilities, but people who come to say, God loves me. We come not because we imagine ourselves to be wise, but because we want to be teachable. And we follow our Savior who made himself nothing, and over the course of his life grew in wisdom and knowledge and in favor with God and man. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he has poured that same Spirit upon us, his disciples, to walk humbly in his way. So although we live in the midst of a groaning world, even if it doesn't look like that from the 49th floor, we have cause for faith and hope that God's promises are indeed trustworthy. He has fulfilled his word. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We know, particularly as a congregation, that that's not just wishful thinking. A month ago, we received this church home. And visitors, if you don't know the story, we were given this church for $1. It's true. It's amazing that the meek shall inherit the earth. Not just some, you know, in this place, but that the Lord really cares for our needs and has placed us in this place to worship him and share in Christ's ministry of reconciliation through worship and testimony and faithful presence. We know that that promise is not just wishful thinking. Don't minimize that, Church of the Redeemer. Remember it. Harden not your heart. We have been blessed by the Lord. And in the past month, there's been cleaning and painting and flooring and people acting with humility and with sacrifice and generosity. We received free furniture, which is a Midwestern way of saying, oh, you like what I got? Well, I got it on sale. It was free. It was free. We have our children meeting in clean classrooms for this second Sunday of, I guess, in history for our congregation in this place. And 3 months ago, we came with aspirations to learn and to love our neighborhood and to learn from faithful witnesses in Frogtown, to connect with local ministries and to do justly. And in the conception of that, it was like, okay, well, we need to make these phone calls and make this list. And then in the midst of this crisis, the Lord's like, nope, here's where you go. We got connected with Godtown Ministry. And after today's worship service, Deb, she invites anybody who would like to come down to the fellowship hall to pray over the things that have been collected for a family that is remaining with, in a sense of insecurity, remaining at home, to pray over those groceries and necessities, to take a photo of saying, here's the people of God that care for and remember you. It wasn't a work that we had to do, but an avenue that the Lord said, just walk humbly in this path. So what will tomorrow bring? Will it be easier? Will it be harder? Will it be about the same? None of us know. Fret not yourself over those who do evil, because it is true, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord will inherit the land, and we have experienced that. As I shared 2 weeks ago, Father James Country, and in our city, Anglican priest, a lawfully present refugee in our country and in our city, I met with him to talk about what is the prudent thing for him to do, and saying, hey, you need to lay low. That my instinct was for his self-interest, and that should be his priority. And it's so convicting for him to speak in a way, I think, more consistent with the promises of Jesus, when he said, Jesus can use me whether I'm free or detained. Whether that is lawful or unlawful, I can be used by the Lord whether I'm free or I'm detained. I don't have to ask whose instinct was more consistent with Jesus' words. Whose instinct was more in line with blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So wherever you're called, whatever sphere you're in, whether you are at the 48th or 49th floor that God has placed you, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Be people who bless and not curse, who show mercy to, even to those who persecute us, and who boast not in our righteousness, but only in the strength of the Lord. That's how we resist the temptations, the false promises of high places, by remembering that God has blessed us and will bless us still. Oh God, you know that we are set in the midst of many grave dangers. And because of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant that your strength and protection may support us in all dangers and carry us through every temptation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.